Welcome to King of Glory's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this week's encouraging message. For more information, please visit kingofglorycc.com.
So, that shows me, one, there was a response, it was immediate, and it had some action. They left their jobs, they left their father. I mean, I don't know, could you imagine, so, follow me. Well, where are you going? What is this, what's that going to mean? How long? Like, I don't know about you, but my mind goes that way. Does your mind go that way? Or just wondering. As we're on this journey, I just want to talk a little bit, because Jesus said, I've been given all authority. I'm going to tie in this thing about being a follower of Jesus, but also understanding that I'm to go and help others follow. And you know, more's going to be, can I just say this? More's going to be taught, more's going to be caught than taught. How you live your life is going to be a louder message than the words you say. Your words are important, but how we live our lives, what people are seeing in our lives is actually going to be, I can tell you there were some things when our children were little, we were very specific in teaching them. But I'll tell you the things that really imprinted them more was how we lived our life. In this whole thing of discipleship, you know, we're called to disciple nations. Well, you might right now be in a season where you have littles. Guess what? You're discipling. Or maybe you're at the studio. God's given you opportunity and people just being who you are of discipling inside the prison. It doesn't really matter. It's like, where are you? On the campuses you're on, in your workplace. But God wants us to have an understanding of there's good news. Do you know that the whole world is really hurting? Have you noticed that? It doesn't take much to turn on the TV or walk around with your eyes open and you're going to realize there's a lot of hurting people. And you know what? I want you to know you have the seed of hope inside of you. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. That's in you. It's got to flow out. You carry a seed of hope. And it doesn't mean that you have to be like Dan or like Sam or like Eliza. You get to be you. But just to begin to go, God, I want to follow you. And I want to also have a heart understanding that part of what you want me to be is let my light shine forth so other ones can see you and go, hey, I want what you have. What is it? Tell me, what makes your life? Do you know, right now, Samuel and Marissa, they're going through a trial right now. He shared last week, and so I'm not saying anything he didn't say. He shared last week, you know, he'd been let go of his job. Then this past week, Grayson had an accident. He broke his femur. He's in a body cast for 6 weeks. It's like the worst time for them. He's three. You know what, Samuel, though, I'm watching his life. He's not like, well, I hope God comes in. He's like, I don't understand, but I know my God's going to take care of me. And you know how he's walking through this right now is a testimony of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And God's going to bring them through. And so you might be in the high, you might be in the low, but people are watching. Not like I'm, well, I mean, there are some that are waiting for you to fall. But I'm just talking you know, but for the most part, people are looking, watching. They're seeing there's something different. I remember, I'm going to just give you a little bit of my own testimony. I talked, last time I talked, or this summer, I shared about having the mind of Christ and the lies we believed. And I talked about the wrestle. My parents were having a really hard time. Who was here that Sunday? And I remember like wanting to go up and get prayer for my parents. You know, my desire was that Jesus would just step in and they wouldn't get a divorce. And I was 9 years old. Well, shortly after that, they separated and they got a divorce. And I remember a couple of things. It's amazing how our little children minds can go. And I remember thinking, well, I'm going to trust Jesus. So if I trust Jesus, I can't grieve, which was a total lie. But that's what I did. I just kind of shut down the emotions because I'm trusting Jesus. And we put on this little, you know. And I remember, here's the other thing I did. We lived at Holden Beach. And our house was right on the Atlantic Ocean, oceanfront property. So I come out, it's probably February, March, and I say out loud, I'm going to get married. And I'm going to, it was probably more like, I'm going to get married. And I'm going to prove to my parents you can make a marriage work. Any kids ever, any adults, you can remember a time as a kid that you said something along those lines in response to the crazy going around you? I made a judgment towards my parents, and I made a vow I was going to be different than them. I love Jesus. As long as I can remember, I've loved Jesus. My little heart was hurting, though, and I didn't understand it. And so my parents had both been married before they got married. So they were actually on their second marriage. And my solution was, if you try hard enough, you can make a marriage work, in my little 9-year-old mind. Well, that day was the very first day that I can recollect Jesus speaking to me. He could have said a lot of things. He could have said, you know, you're judging your parents. He could have said, you're going to make a mess of your life, this direction you're going. This is what he said to me. I have a husband for you, and he is going to love me more than he loves you. And but because of that, he's going to love you really, really well. He's going to be a spiritual leader in your life. And y'all are going to be in ministry together. 9 years old, that's what he told me. Well, from that day, for many years, I lived out of, I'm going to get married. I'm going to prove to my parents I can make a marriage work. The whole time, I'm loving Jesus. The whole time, I have a hunger for his word. The whole time, I have the honor of meeting the Holy Spirit 12 years old. Like, so I was fully in relationship with him, but there was this other thing that was in motion that was driving my life. When I was 13, so my parents were separated for 2-3 years. When I was 13, I remember my mom coming to me. She goes, well, I'm thinking about going and asking your dad to get a divorce. What do you think of that? Like a peer. It's just, we had a lot of crazy, you know? I mean, I love my parents, and they both are now in heaven, and I'm thankful I wouldn't be who I am without them, but there was some brokenness in our family. And anyway, my parents got a divorce, and then when I was 15, they both remarried to other people, and then when I was 18, they both got a divorce. So growing up, I went through 3 divorces. And as I was going through this process, what do you think was driving my life? But this judgment that I had made, I'm going to prove to my parents, and I can make a marriage work. I was, thankfully, I had a real fear of getting in trouble. I know it kept me out of a lot. Because there was this huge void. And I loved Jesus. And I mean, there were people, I can remember when we moved, 12 or 13, and you know, I regularly had my quiet time, and it wasn't an issue, but there was parts of my life that I hadn't really surrendered to him. I didn't really know I needed to. So, when I was about 20, I was at a college group, kind of like Thrive, and we were getting ready to start. I loved Jesus. I loved to worship. I loved to be in the Word. I loved to pray. And yet there's still this place in my heart that was just huge and painful. And I remember Julie McKeever, And she's sitting there and she's beaming like this. Like, have you ever like looked at someone and you're just like, what do they have? Like, you just see so much life and so much love. She hadn't said anything. And I'm looking at her. What is that? And then she began to talk. Well, I don't really have a praise report or a prayer request. I just want to say, I just love Jesus. And he is everything to me. And I knew as she was talking, she meant it. It was all over her face. And I thought, Lord, I love you, but I don't know about that. And I'll tell you something. There began to be a shift where I began to realize, I know him as Savior, but I'm not letting him over every area of my life. You know, I was just this little girl that was trying to deal with the pain all around me. And my coping mechanism was try harder. You work hard enough, you try hard enough, you can make it work. Well, that began to shape and change everything for me. I began to go, oh my goodness. Like, I missed this little part. Just a little bit of a part. At this point, I'm 20. I'd been dating a guy for 5 years. It wasn't Sam. In our relationship, the whole church saw it. We look like Ken and Barbie. Really. It's like, because my solution to a relationship was, you just be compliant. Thank goodness he was a good guy. But this new first love experience, and I'm not saying I wasn't saved before. I'm just saying I was on a journey and he was going, there's more. Okay? And I saw something in someone else that provoked me. It was contagious. I wanted that. And I want my life to be in such a way that it provokes, it's contagious, that people go, what does she have? And I can say it's Jesus, and he's the greatest and the best there ever is, was, and it is to come. So, so now I have this 5-year relationship, and obviously God did a lot, which I won't go into that because we got a short amount of time. It's already 5 minutes until time's supposed to be done. So anyway, I will say this. In that process, I begin to go, well, how do I know if I'm supposed to like be with this person? Or is this what, you know, I begin to really seek God about the issues of my life. I begin to, and it's not that I didn't have a relationship more, but it's like I really wanted what he wanted. I'll tell you what happened. It was almost like I began to go, I just want to leave it all and follow after him. I don't care where I am or where he takes me. I know that he's life, and that's what I want. And he began to heal my heart. He took me back that day, and he goes, hey, do you remember that day? I mean, it's like, so I'm probably like 6 months into, maybe 3 months into this journey. I'm having a quiet time, just spending time with him. And I hear, hey, do you remember that day on the beach? Now, I grew up on the beach. So I had quite a few days on the beach. But I knew what day he was talking about. What day do you think it was? 9 years old. Like, we hadn't spoken about that. I hadn't even thought about that day on the beach. It's amazing how powerful those moments are in our life. It's not like I was consciously thinking this. You remember that day on the beach? I knew immediately. Yeah. He began to talk to me a little bit more. He said, what did you say that day on the beach? Well, I said I was going to get married. I was going to prove to my parents I can make a marriage work. What theme do you hear in that? You know, when he asks you questions, that's how he really gets my attention. I. He goes, the direction you're going, you'll not only reap what you're sowing, but that much more. You're judging your parents. You can't make a marriage work. Only I can make a marriage work. He was so loving. He was so tender. He was so kind. I felt no condemnation. I felt a lot of conviction. Shaped, changed my life. I could just, you know, this big smile on his face. Do you remember what I told you? Yeah. I told you I had a husband that's going to love you more than, he's going to love me more than he loves you. Look at this guy. Is that the case? His word to me at 9 years old began to be an anchor to get me on the path of following him for my life. Are y'all checking with me? Okay. So, obviously, that's just a little bit of personal testimony. I want to just say that I believe that we go from glory to glory, and the closer we are, the more we're going to go after him. I'm going to know him in ways. In fact, this week, I had a situation this week, and I won't go into, I mean, just, he gave me, I was in the middle on Wednesday processing something, feeling bottled up because there was so much I haven't processed, and I'm confident that I'm this internal processor. And he speaks to me and he goes, you say you're an internal processor? And I just thought, no. He goes, actually, what if my design was you to externally process, but you don't want to talk about it because if you do, then emotion comes. And all of a sudden, I'm going, what? He wants us to have this relationship of walking with him and following him. Time's going by really quick. Can we pick up this another time? I want you to ask this question to yourself. Like, I don't know. Am I actually following you, Jesus? Or do I like just to be in the crowd? Am I willing to, like, pick up immediately and go where you say to go? If you say go this way, I'm going to go this way. If you say go this way, I'm going to go this way. Is Jesus my only option? He is my only option. That's a good way of knowing if you're following Jesus. In your good time, he's still your option. In your bad time, he's still your option. He is the only option. Gosh, there's so much. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here with us right now. We just wait on you. We ask that you would teach us more about what it is to follow Jesus. What it is to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross and follow. That you would be the most important one in our life, that it would shape the decisions we make. It would shape how we respond to the world around us. In a culture that it's very easy to go, oh yeah, I follow. in a click of the button. Help us not to become lulled into a complacency just because we've been going to church or connected or serving. Lord, we want to be so attuned to you that when you move, we move. Lord, I ask that our lives would be so full of your Spirit and so full of surrender that it becomes a testimony to the world around us. I thank you, Lord God, that this room right here and right now is full of people that have decided a long ago to give their lives to you, and today they give it again. We don't want to be satisfied by what we experienced yesterday or even earlier this morning. Lord, I thank you that you're desiring for an intimate, alive relationship with your sons and daughters. I pray, Father, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be evident in our lives. I pray, Lord God, that our eyes would begin to look and see, and our hearts would be full of compassion around us, and that we would be willing to move and not worry about what people would think. We wouldn't be worried. And Lord, I thank you that it's not like we have to strive and to do anything. You just want us to catch the wave of your Spirit, the rhythm of your grace. I ask, Lord God, that each one of us this week would catch the wave of your Spirit and the rhythm of your grace, and that our eyes would be open around us. And Lord, there may be some things even now, today, that you've touched on in hearts to go, oh, wow, well, like, yeah, I've known him as Savior, but you know what? I've really not wanted to let go of some things and give him complete lordship. Lord, I ask that you would do the convicting, you would do the wooing, you would do the drawing. Lord, we want to be all in because you were all in. Lord, I ask, Father, that any distraction, anything that would be that where we're seeking out, there's so much that we can get caught up in this world in the way of provision and success and work. Lord, those things are of importance, but not of the most importance of you. Father, I ask that you would break our hearts with the things that break your heart. Father, I pray that we would be attuned not to what the news is saying, not to what the neighbor's saying, but what is the Spirit of God saying, and that our hearts would break and move with what you're saying to do. Father, help us. I pray this week that we would abide in your word. I thank you for words that you have spoken, just like you did to me as a 9-year-old little girl that became an anchor that you could get my attention to where I drifted away from you. Father, I pray that you would just breathe life on words that you've spoken through the lives of your sons and your daughters, and that you would awaken their hearts to you. Lord, things that you've promised them, Lord, I pray that they would be full of the contagious joy of the Lord. And if they've seen it, but they've not tasted it themselves, that they would experience it. And that there would be contagious. Lord, I pray that we would be the most contagious people in the world. You know, I don't know about you, but like a cold, you don't have to work really hard to get it. You don't have to even pass it. I mean, it just happens. I just pray right now in the Spirit that there be a contagiousness of the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray for ears to be open to hear your voice. Your word says, my sheep know my voice. You know, my disciples, because they listen to my word. I break off, as last week Sam talked about, how important it is to hear the word of God. I just break off any lie that says I can't hear God. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak and they would hear. I pray they'd abide in your word. I ask, Lord God, this week that your word, your written word, your logos word would become rhema word. It'd awaken in the hearts and there'd be transformation. Father, and I'd pray that each one of us would stay in the lane you've put us in. That each one of us have the same calling. It has to go and make disciples, and yet it looks different for each one, and I just break off any comparison and jealousy or feeling like inadequacy, and that you would be able to be in the lane that he's put you in this season, and you would thrive In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to King of Glory's Sermon of the Week. Connect with us on Instagram at KOG_Asheville and on Facebook at facebook.com/KOG Asheville.